FM's Morning Focus with Gavin Grace.
Now, there's been a call this week for a NAMA for the wee guy to be set up to deal with the ongoing mortgage and home repossession crisis. The Right to Homes group appeared this week before the Oireachtas Finance Committee to outline its National Housing Co-op Bill. They want the setting up of a co-op to buy all home and buy-to-let loans in arrears for over 30 days. The head of the Joint Oireachtas Finance Committee is the Carlow Kilkenny Fianna Fáil TD, Deputy John McGuinness. Good morning to you, Deputy McGuinness.
Good morning.
And thank you very much for joining us. You saw the presentation this week. What do you make of it?
I was very impressed by the group that have come together, headed by Right to Homes, and the group is accompanied by Ed Honohan and other academics and professionals. They gave a very positive presentation, which highlights a way out for the many distressed mortgages that are now in play in each and every bank in the country. And it gives people a chance to engage with a co-op and to stay in their own homes, should there be a political will to do so.
Well, that's the big question. I mean, do you see what they're proposing as being workable or feasible?
I do. Right across the European states, and indeed beyond, there are examples of housing co-ops where groups of interested parties have come together, sought funds from the money markets, and then have taken debts from banks, and indeed have set up co-ops to deliver homes to families. So it is a matter now that the bill has been presented and that this group has presented to the Oireachtas Finance Committee to go and lobby each and every political party. And that's the process that we are all now engaged in. And I believe there is goodwill towards the concept of a housing co-op.
Has Fianna Fáil adopted a position then as of yet?
No, I understand that Michael McGrath is to meet with the Right for Homes representatives while they're meeting all of the other parties in the Dáil. So this is about building a consensus on this and hopefully encouraging all parties to support the bill that is now there with the Crown Corra for approval.
There are a huge number of people in mortgage arrears still in this country following on from the financial crash. We're talking tens of thousands, many of them in arrears for some time. It's undeniable, but that something at some point will have to be done. But so far, there hasn't been a lot in the way of political will to do that. A lot of it's been left with the banks.
No, there's been a political void here and a legislative void in that the banks have now, if you like, sorted out all of their bigger portfolios and they're down to individual cases, where the European Central Bank has told our banks to get rid of all of this debt. And that's where the vulture funds come in. And I don't think any of us in this country want to see the vulture funds taking over all of these housing loans. In the first tranche, for example, there are 33,000 homes that are well in arrears, 362 days, and they have no hope of paying back the full loan. So the idea from the housing co-op is that they would raise the money on the money markets, that they would buy the loans and the properties, and that they would restructure the loans over a longer period of time to suit the sustainability of the loan and to suit the individual that has the loan. So there are many ways to deal with this. A person could end up, for example, renting their home. But the critical thing is that they would stay in their own home. They would not become a homeless family or a homeless individual, adding further pressures on the local authority housing list.
And it's ultimately something I think it's fair to say will have to be done. But when we're talking about over 50,000 mortgages, for example, in arrears for at least 3 months, it shows the scale of the problem that we're talking about. And it's not, whatever model we go with, it's not going to be easy to fix it, clearly.
Oh, no, it's not. And right now, if you look at the different numbers that come out from the banks, you can base your forecast on anything between 33,000 mortgages or 70,000 mortgages. It's estimated that 17,000 repossessions will happen in the course of the next 12 months, or at least be threatened further in the next 12 months. The registrar's courts throughout the country are clogged full of lay litigants who can't afford representation. The banks with their lawyers, heavily too loud to repossess the home, and the registrar is kicking the can down the road by not allowing repossessions. And thank God for that.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, yeah, and you've jumped in over, sorry, I've jumped in over you to almost agree with you in that the registrars are at least keeping people in their homes.
They are indeed. And what we need to do is acknowledge that there is a problem there and acknowledge that there will be further repossessions and therefore further numbers on the housing list. And by adopting this bill and by ensuring that it can be funded, it actually does what Europe asks us to do, which is keep it off balance sheet, and then it saves the homes of families. And when you look at a home, you're talking about a family. You're talking about, you know, a father, mother, kids,
sure,
all being thrown to the vulture funds. We can't allow that to happen.
What will this cost?
We estimate that the total bill is 16.5 billion of euros.
Billion would it be?
16.5 billion in the banks. So therefore, if you were to take that figure and apply the reduction that vulture funds get, it would cost the co-op 5 billion. So initially, you raise 5 billion, you take over those loans over a period of time, you do it on a one-to-one basis, it takes time to do that, and then over time, you're keeping people in their homes, they're paying a rent or a mortgage, and then the co-op is paying back its money to the lender and is able to provide stability within the country in the housing market.
But would that lender be the government?
No. At the moment, for example, the money markets, if you go there, the rate is 1.75%. That won't last forever because there has been financial easing in markets and printing of money.
Sure.
And once that interest rate goes up, then it would be more difficult to establish a co-op like this. But the intention would be that the co-op would get the money at around that price. Then it would add a margin to it, nothing like what the banks do, nothing like what the vulture funds do, and they would, as I say, pass on all of the benefits in a benevolent entity to the borrower, enabling people to get back to. Remember that when these people are dealing with their loans and in the courts, they're not functioning properly, they're not working properly. So you're releasing a whole new energy into the marketplace. See, and it has benefits for society, benefits for the economy, and it's something that, you know, I cannot find anything wrong with this, and it works elsewhere.
And what you're saying basically is that it will be off the Exchequer's books, the money will be raised internationally and paid back internationally, so one of the biggest problems facing the country would be paid for, it is proposed, without costing the government anything.
Yes, and without costing the state. And look at how much money it's now costing the state to house people in hotels, in private rented accommodation, how much all of the schemes are costing in terms of rental supports, and all you're doing is relieving that pressure and doing things in a different way. And unfortunately, Irish politics is very reluctant to embrace difference, but this difference has a proven track record right across Europe and beyond, because there are established housing co-ops all over the world functioning successfully and assisting families.
How far away do you think this is from becoming a reality then?
Well, I hope to meet Minister Murphy in the course of the business of this week in the Dáil, and I'll be putting it to him that there's an opportunity here for government to take the bill and to fast track it. So it really depends on the political support that it gets, the interest of political parties. And I think if they listen to what's happening within the economy and society, because society comes first, then it will learn very quickly that this is something that can be achieved.
Okay.
And I say again, the group at that meeting, the Finance Committee meeting, were very impressive in terms of the extent of the knowledge and the analysis that they had conducted to reach this bill. And this bill was essentially written by Ed Honohan, who deals with these cases every single day of the week.
We'll see what happens. We'll follow it closely. Before I let you go, Deputy McGuinness, you talk about working with other political parties, but doing so on a day in which some of the headlines are suggesting that the relations have been very strained between your leader and Taoiseach Leo Varadkar. Are we getting closer to a general election?
I think that we are, not just on this issue, but right across the issues that face us in the Dáil. This is the issue of today. There are many other issues there that are not being dealt with. And I think, and I've said this over the weekend, if this government does not wake up and start dealing with all of the issues of the day, including this, and remember that it's in a minority position in the Dáil, and there is no doubt that we're going to have conflict on a daily basis, which inevitably damages trust and understanding, and that will lead, of course, to a general election. And perhaps that might not be any harm.
And why wouldn't it be any harm?
Because it was clear the air in terms of the agendas being set by political parties. I believe that people are sick and tired of this Maura Whelan's controversy. Not made by her, by the way. I believe she's an excellent individual. But I have to say that the manner in which the Dáil is run in terms of its productivity and the level of debate and the work of committees, I have never seen it as bad. And it would appear that the government has no interest except staying in power and half dealing with issues.
But would, there be, would the result be any different?
I mean, positivity.
Would a new Dáil be any different? I mean, it's unlikely that either you or Fine Gael would return with a majority or anything that would be much closer to a majority looking at the polls.
Well, we have, that's quite true, because Fine Gael are 29%, it is said by the polls, and we are at 29%, and I'm sure there is some truth in all of that. But the fact of the matter is that there will come a point where people recognising that this Dáil has not functioned properly since it was put in place, and therefore, because of the fact that it doesn't function and can't produce appropriate legislation to deal with the issues of the day, or indeed to deal with these judicial appointments and other appointments, then the only option will be a general election. And I see that coming sooner rather than later.
This year?
I would not be surprised if it was an election this year.
But just before I let you go then, you talked about people, and many people are fed up of this controversy with regards to the appointment of Maura Whelan, but would you not be concerned that it's actually your party that could get the backlash on it if you're perceived, and Micheál Martin is perceived as bringing up and continuously dragging on this issue, shall we say, and a lot of people on text, for example, this week saying to this programme that in their view, look, it doesn't affect their day-to-day lives, there's much more important matters, and that's what they want to see Fianna Fáil and other political parties dealing with.
Oh yeah, and I want to see them get on with doing the business for the country. But unfortunately, that's not happening. The legislation is piling up. There are bills being passed by way of debate to committees, and these bills will never see the light of day. There are issues, for example, such as the Public Accounts Committee dealing with the Garda controversies that have created an awful situation for the Garda Síochána. And yet they are not being dealt with. There is no real decisions being made by this government. It's impossible to make them because of the arithmetic in the Dáil. And at some stage during the course of all of that, not just about one single issue, but the combination of all of those issues impacting on the governance of the country, it may be necessary to clear the air and to go for a general election. It's not one issue. It is the accumulation of all the issues and the negative effect it is having on the functioning of politics in Ireland today.
Your party can call it in the morning.
They can indeed, and I'm sure that the leadership of the party is examining the question that you asked. If we pull the plug, do we get a backlash from the electorate? But inevitably, over time, these things build up, trust falls down, and after that, there's nothing left but to go to the country.
Deputy John McGuinness, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Deputy John McGuinness there, Fianna Fáil TD for Carlow Kilkenny, head of the Oireachtas Finance Committee. Up next, we're talking about fishing in Clare. Is it an industry which needs revival?
Join the conversation in Clare on Facebook, Twitter, or call 1850 400 964.